Blog Talk Radio.
GoDamnMedia.com.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger Infidels Are Watching with your host, Kel Fritzy. I'm glad everybody can be here tonight. There is a lot of news going on this week, and I don't even know where to begin. It is unbelievable. We have these developments in Egypt, and we have developments in Canada. We have developments in the United States. We have developments all over the West. I want to share with you something. But before I do that, I want to remind you that I have a guest on my program today, of course. Otherwise, I'd be saying yesterday. I am very, very honored that Joe Dan Gorman will be joining me in 30 minutes. He is the gentleman that you hear who is performing the opening for my program. Joe Dan Gorman, a.k.a. Joe Dan Media, will be here at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I am so thrilled by that. He's going to share with you his music and his creation of the intellectual Frog Legs. So, I'm so excited about that. I'm so nervous. Well, I'm not. I'm just excited. I just love doing this show where I can have people on my program. They can come here. They can promote and expand and share with you what the infidel is up to, because that's what we all are here, especially on the Red Fox. We are infidels, and we are out here to share the word with you and tell you exactly what Islam is. And I am so proud that Joe Dan, he is going to be on my program in 25 minutes now. But there is something really interesting. Before Joe comes on, there is something really interesting I want to share with you. This is from Spain. Apparently, Spain has taken the first step to ban the Quran. And if you guys have listened to the Red Fox for as long as you have, you know that I have been in debates with other radio hosts, and I have been petitioning this within my own government in Canada about declaring the Quran, that evil green book, is hate crime. Now, there was a Pakistani, he's an expatriate. His name is Imran Fisras. What he has done is that he has filed a petition to the Spanish government to ban the Quran, which, of course, as we know, is a book used by Muslims, and that book also inspires terrorism, and we know that from the Hadith. There are, however, a lot of Muslims offering pushback. They're calling Imran stupid. And they said the government of Spain is not going to entertain his petition and that they will tear and throw the petition away. Now, there is a Muslim under the username Reader Muslim and Proud. It's on a website. He commented, "I think the government of Spain will take this muppet very seriously, and they will ban the Holy Quran, dot, dot, dot." Not, but you know what? I'm very proud of Imran Fisras for his stance. Whether or not this could be a global movement to see that book banned, that would be wonderful. Now, pardon me. The issue I have about banning the Quran, and this is the thing, I do want it banned. I think it's a naughty book. I think it's a terrible book. I want this book declared hate speech. But the thing is that remember when we banned Mein Kampf, written by that other lovely gentleman, Adolf Hitler, and Germany banned that? So people had no access to it. I'm wondering if banning the Quran is actually the right approach to do. But then again, like I say, I'm just saying this from an intellectual point of view. As a person, as a human being, I do think the evil green book has to be banned. But I do not want to see it banned in the sense where intellectuals and academics cannot peruse it and still expose to you, fellow infidels, the evils of what this book entails. So, like I say, I'm not, I am not absolutely opposed to this proposal, but I just hope that it's not banned to the point where academics cannot still disclose the Hadiths, and like I say, the Surahs, and share with you what this book actually holds. Have you ever heard of the Muslim Brotherhood? Of course you have. I have strong listeners, very smart listeners. Well, you know, when the Muslim Brotherhood was created in 1928 in Egypt, this is where they got their manifesto, was from the Quran. That included issues such as world caliphate and slowly but surely taking over the planet with their soft, ladies and gentlemen, Islamism. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. But this is interesting that Spain, they are entertaining this idea to ban the Quran. Like I say, I want the Quran banned, but I don't want it banned in that academics cannot discuss it and share with you the issues within it. It's a very nasty little booklet, the Evil Green Book. But it's also very important that you are able to access what is actually in it. It frightens me, this book. And like I say, the Muslim Brotherhood, how they glossed their manifesto from this Evil Green Book, which I personally think came from a madman named Muhammad, and what he unleashed upon the people globally. Unbelievable stuff in here. But I'm just trying to scroll down a bit here. My computer is acting rather naughty on me. So let me see if I can get this going down here. Okay. Spain, though, they might back off. This is a letter from the Spanish Parliament regarding the Quran being banned and regarding the Quran ban petitioned and admitted. An outright ban of the Quran may not be on the card as of yet, but acceptance of the petitions for consideration takes us to the next level, a big leap forward towards condemnation of the violent Quran, and credits for this would go to the Spanish Parliament as much as it would go to Imran Farison. And I have to remind you and have to reiterate, this is a letter to the Spanish Parliament, not from the Spanish Parliament. If I got my words mixed up, my deepest apologies. This is what he had to say. A few weeks ago, Imran handed over a formal document to the Ministry of Presidency, the Congress of Representatives, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and the Ministry of the Interior, in which he presented 10 points back to his request. 1. The Quran is not a sacred and religious book, but a violent book full of hatred and discrimination. Point number 2. Quran is a horrible book which provokes a community it calls Muslims to undertake jihad, kill innocent people, and destroy the peace of the world. Point number 3. The Quran is responsible for all the terrorism we have seen in recent years in which thousands of people lost their lives. Point number four. The Quran is a book which contains evil teachings and forces its believers to capture the entire world in total power at any price. Point number five. The Quran is a book which legally permits and incites hatred and violence. For that reason, it is not compatible with the modern world, and that includes Spain. The Quran is a book which directly discriminates between human beings. And I want to stop there and go off script and tell you this. That is absolutely true. And that is absolutely a fact, is that those held hostage under Islam are taught that the Quran teaches them that they must hate the infidel. And that includes, of course, Christians and especially Jews. We are the infidel. We are the ones who fall under the thumb of Islam and their fatwas. That's right. You cannot even publish an Islamic cartoon of the fake prophet Muhammad. You cannot speak about the prophet, fake prophet Muhammad, without having a fatwa put on your head. And it is responsible for all the terrorism that we have seen in recent years. We have seen what happened on 2001. We have seen what happened in Spain. We have seen what has happened in England. Of course, these are highlighted headline stories that we read about. But you know what? There are so many more acts of terrorism that do not make the headlines. Nobody talks about the crimes of North Africa or what is happening to the Coptic Christians in Egypt. Nobody is talking about the grooming gang and no-go zones in the UK. Nobody is talking about how women in Malmo, Sweden, dye their hair brown if they are blonde-haired. They dye their hair brown for fear of being raped in the streets in their own home country where Islamic immigrants reside. This is what this gentleman is talking about. Like I say, the Quran is a book which contains evil teachings and forces its believers to capture the entire world in total power at any price. The Quran is a book which does not allow either freedom of expression or religious freedom. The Quran is a book which does not allow either freedom of any thought. It does not allow you to express yourself, like I say. Do you know what it's like to be a Muslim involved in an abusive relationship and the father or the husband controls every move a woman makes? Islam controls everything a human being does. Do you know what it's like to wake up in the morning and have to cleanse yourself 5 times a day henceforth so that you can pray towards Mecca. 5 times a day. It is unbelievable what Islam is. All dictated within the Quran. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. You even have to be mindful of yourself, how you step into the mosque. You have to be mindful of how you consume your food. You have to be mindful of your ablutions. You have to be mindful of how you dress. You have to be mindful of even how you pray. That's the Quran. That's the teachings of the Quran. The Quran teaches collective thought. The Quran does not allow individual autonomy at all. So this gentleman, to want to ban the Quran, and he put forth this petition in Spain, Imran Farisat. And something else you should know about Imran Farisat, he's an ex-Muslim. That's right. He's an apostate. He is an immigrant from Pakistan. The Quran, it also has Sharia law. And as my listeners know, you know how much I am battling Sharia law. It causes women to suffer and be tortured because of the totality. It's unjust, and the laws are macho. This book, it's a book. Rather than teaching unity, it teaches disunity. And in this way, does not allow its believers to form friendships with those who are not Muslims. Because, like I say, in the eyes of the Quran, we are infidels. This petition pertaining to Spain, this gentleman's final point, the Quran is a major threat to free society of Spain, a book which clearly preaches the message of jihad, killing, hate, discrimination, and revenge. For that reason, it cannot be compatible with the Spanish system in any sense. It is a book totally contrary to what the law and constitution of Spain say. And it incites hatred and violence within the country of Spain. And you know what? Spain is mulling over it. Here, I'm going to put the link in the chat room for you guys, so that you can read this for yourself. I think this is a very, very bold step. But like I say, I worry about the Quran being banned in the sense that scholars cannot still study it and explain to people, lay people like you and me, why we have to absolutely damn this book as hate literature. I think that it should be available in libraries and universities, colleges, as a study of hatred. I do want to see it banned in the bookstore, and I want to see it banned from the website. But I don't want it so totally banned to the point, like I say, Mein Kampf, that nobody can study it, because Islam is an absolute study. Absolutely. If you want to read a really good book about Islam and you want the interpretation of Islam, read The Reliance of the Traveler. And that is a great referral book. And you know what? Be armed and tell the Islamists talking to you, well, that's not the Quran. You don't understand Arabic. Tell them they're full of it because you do understand Arabic. You don't even have to buy the book, The Reliance of the Traveler. You can go to so many websites today where the true teachings of the Quran are taught and the Arabic version is interpreted. And may they be damned for accusing us of being ignorant, because you know what? Islam is on the run. Islam knows that we are onto them. Islam is running scared. We're trying so hard to see reformation within Islam, but within my lifetime, like I say, I don't see it happening. I think it's a rather scary entity that we have. You know what, though? I have my guest on the line with me. That is Joe Dan Media. I am so pleased to have this gentleman join me. Joe Dan Media, he is another gentleman that fights for the infidel, which we are. He has a wonderful website, intellectualfroglegs.com. And Joe, like I say, I play his opening song on this program, and he was gracious to allow me the permission to do that, because Joe is a wonderful man, a friend of mine, and he knows what I'm trying to achieve. He knows what I'm trying to accomplish. And I want to bring Joe Dan Media, a.k.a. my friend, Joe Dan Gorman, on the air with us right now. Hi, Joe. And I'm getting dead air. Joe? Oh, there he is. You know what? His call dropped. That's okay. He's going to call back in. But like I say, I am so great. Well, I'm not so great. I am so grateful that Joe is willing to spend his time with you and me and talk about his website and what he is up to. And here he is.
Hey.
Hi, Joe.
Are we on the air?
We are on the air, sir. How are you tonight, Joe?
You know, I'm outstanding. How are you doing, sweetheart?
Oh, busy here. Busy fighting the Islamists. You know, rust never sleeps. It goes on and on. What about you?
Well, we're just getting ready. We're having some fun. I'm putting together some new frog legs. And I actually had to do a new, and so that's what we do. I have intellectual frog legs, if anybody, you know, for the people that don't know. And it's pretty funny. We make fun of people, and, well, we make fun of liberals. And but anyway, I understand. I saw that Janet Napolitano has decided to resign, and I'm kind of upset about that. She's done such a hell of a job.
I thought she was absolutely lovely. Yeah, it broke my heart this morning when I opened up my dailies and found out, oh, my goodness, she's retiring. Yeah, where are we going to get our comedy now?
Well, never fear. We were never for a lack of material. But the thing that sucked, though, is I just done a segment for this week's show about Jenna Napolitano last night. So I had to redo the segment today. And actually, it's going to come out a lot better. And of course, we're just making fun of a lot of things. You know, with everything's going wrong, you know, now the Democrats want to have a national park on the moon. Yes, you know, that's going to secure the border and fix our economic mess all at the same time. These guys, you know, they're communists. They're absolute communists. And I keep telling our friends, we have so many conservatives out there that are conservative, I mean, that are media ignorant. I mean, we're still tuning in and watching, you know, like the perfect example is Jay Leno's numbers are through the roof. And, you know, Jay Leno is a great guy, but you know what? When you tune in to Jay Leno, you're not benefiting Jay Leno, you're benefiting NBC, which is basically the West Wing of the Obama administration. We have to understand. We do not click their links, do not watch their channels, do not share their crap. They are our enemies. We cannot, and we call the liberals dumb. And here we are being the customers of our enemies. And I had somebody tell me that, but there's nothing else to watch. Are you an idiot? Are you that stupid?
I know.
Go watch
and there's
grass grow.
Called talk radio. For goodness sake, like once in a while, I tell you, Joe, once in a while, you just got to turn off the idiot tube and tune into talk radio because that's where the action really is. That's where people are really getting the information. And yeah, but this news about Janet, baby, retiring, I'm not going to lie to you. I did a fist pump in the air. We got another one out.
That means something else to her. You better be careful.
Oh,
well, you know, her friends call her Jim.
Come on, Joe. Come on, let's admit it. She is a rather handsome woman.
Well, you know, yeah, okay. We'll just move on. Well,
I know.
We better shut up
before we get shut down. But
yeah,
no, it is a pleasure to have you on my program here. My listeners are really thrilled about that. And but I want to ask you a question. What are you up to these days?
What? I'm sorry. Hello.
Hi, I'm here.
I lost you there for a second. I hear you now. What now?
What have you been up to these days? You are such a prolific singer-songwriter. I always thank you for allowing me to use one of your songs for my opening show.
Yeah, but I hate listening to my music. I write good songs, but my vocals just make me cringe. And I'm a musician for fun. That's like I dabble in that. But what I've been up to is doing these intellectual frog legs. That's where we need everybody to come tune in. Go to intellectualfroglegs.com. We have fun. I mean, we really do. We look at serious stuff. I mean, like I've had people say that frog legs makes you think, it makes you laugh, and it makes you tap your toes. Because, you know, we have, like, awesome classic rock and other tunes. You know, we get, but then at the same time we have, like, awesome footage. We might pull Curly from the Three Stooges or Groucho Marx. But then at the same time we look at the truth. We look at, you know, we're not ashamed to say we love God and stand tall for Christianity. You know, and people say, well, you can't talk about Christianity because you say words like ass. And, know what? If we were perfect, we wouldn't need God, now would we? But, you know, anyway, I won't get into that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we have a great time.
Joe,
I couldn't agree more
with that one.
Yeah, and we may have like Milton Friedman on. You know, I may pull clips from Milton Friedman. I mean, it's really cool. Chuck Woolery from Love Connection. Everybody knows Chuck. Chuck has been a big promoter of our show. He said that the Intellectual Frog Legs was the best new media that he's seen. And that made me proud.
You know what, though? That is a great new website that you have. Can I ask you a question, though? Why frog legs?
No. Why not frog legs? Because they taste like chicken,
damn it.
No. Hey, well, intellectual frog legs.
It tastes like chicken.
Yeah. Well, you know what we say? It's like intellectual frog legs. It means, shows you that, well, we know a little bit, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Actually, we know more than we let on. but we're trying to educate people that who normally wouldn't tune in. Because, you know, that's what conservatives got to wake up. You know, everybody's cheering. Oh, we got another news channel. Big deal. News channel ain't going to save this country. You know, news reports what has happened. Entertainment media actually creates perceptions that create what's going to happen. I mean, you got to get in and get out. You got to understand that, you know, the entertainment media is the most important. That's what the kids listen to. That's what people listen to in their leisure time. You know, they listen or they watch or listen to entertainment media all the time. You know, news is what's on at dinner time. You know, it's something that, they really don't want to listen to. And I'm not talking about, you know, news junkies like us. I'm talking about normal Americans. They don't give a rat's ass about the news. And we need to get God back. I mean, look at we had that miniseries, The Bible. It had awesome ratings. And that just shows you that America is hungry for decency. We want decency. And we're sick of showing us, we don't want to see two good dudes kissing. I don't want to see two dudes kissing. Hell no. But that's what they've got their agenda. Well, apparently the left does.
Absolutely.
The libs do. And but conservatives with money need to start investing in entertainment media. Leave the news alone. Well, screw the news.
That's the thing. And you know what? I can so totally get on board with that because, you know what? I think terrestrial news is on its way out the door. And the way that Americans and Canadians and the UK and anywhere on the planet, the only way they can get the true news is on the Internet. What we do right here, people like you and people like me and our Radio Jihad Network, what we all do to bring the true news to you. And everything else is out the window. Mainstream media is out. MSNBC, get lost. NBC, goodbye.
I agree with what you're saying. I agree with that. And the thing I would add is that my aunt, you know, Aunt Jean, she's in her 80s, and she gets the Kansas City Star on a daily basis. And she gets it all because she likes the paper. It's just out of habit. But if you were relegated to using that as a news source, you would have no clue what was happening. When they were trying to pass, when all the immigration stuff was in the news, like last week, their headlines were absurdly slanted it was nonsense. They never even covered Benghazi. You know, they hardly even touched the IRS. You know, what they do is they point to, the front page story is like the Boy Scouts' new uniform. I mean, they're criminal. They're criminal. And they've got a duty. I mean, I think there's a special place in hell for these journalists who know they have the people's trust, and they are deliberately misleading them, deliberately lying to them. And that's, you know, it just makes me sick. That's the founding fathers gave them that the power of the freedom of the press, and it's been infiltrated, and it's been there's a cancer in it. I mean, did you see? I mean, like Obama just had a bunch of left wing journalists over at the White House earlier today to promote his Obamacare crap, and one of them But one of the guys that he had over at the White House today was one cheering publicly when Andrew Breitbart died. I mean, that's the type of scum these communist jackasses. I almost went off there a little bit. Almost lost my script.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go for it. No, it's funny because I call Obamacare, Obama don't care.
Everybody's eating
that up. Like, it's going to help the American people. You know what that's going to mean? Is that Americans cannot even determine their own health care plan, and it's going to determine what health care you receive. Like, I just do not like this man at all. I call him the devil incarnate.
He's a communist. That is what a communist is.
Absolutely.
The thing here is, you know, they keep changing the definition, so they keep us on the offensive. I mean, they keep us on the defensive because they keep changing the definition of words on us. But, you know, we got to quit letting them dictate the rules of the game. You know, a communist is a communist is a communist, and like I said, you can throw a cat in the oven, but it don't make it a biscuit.
Bingo.
But the problem is,
what's going on down there in the United States with that Barack Hussein Obama just freaks me out some days. And I try to report it on, like, I have a radio program here, and I reach a lot of people. But
are you in Canada?
It's so nice to hear voices.
I'm in Canada. I am a Canadian.
And my Canadian listeners, I have a lot of listeners up here in Canada that are interested in what's going on in the United States. And I am proud to say that I was dubbed an Americanadia or a Canadian-American.
American-Canadian, that's cool.
You know, Joe, I'll tell you what it is. It's that we are so globally connected. As a global society, we have to stick together, and that pertains to what Barack Hussein Obama is up to and what he's doing to the great people of the United States of America. And this is what I try to convey on my show, is that I may live in Canada, but those are my cousins down there in the United States, and I am damned and determined to make sure that Barack Hussein Obama is taken to task for what he's doing to that great nation and how he's trying to mess around with their Constitution and how he's trying to mess around with the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and everything else, the Fifth Amendment, the 16th Amendment. I am so sick and tired of this man messing around with us, because whatever happens
down in the United
States affects the world.
You know what? He's not messing around. He's ignoring it. He's shredded this Constitution. We have no rule of law when our government pleads the Fifth. It is absolutely absurd. And as I pointed out, the federal government, the majority of the federal government employees are members of a union. But, you know, right there. Well, the only possible way we are going to get control of this is to get the states to begin exercising their rights guaranteed to them under the 10th Amendment. And that is the only way, but because the federal government, anybody that thinks the federal government is going to voluntarily let go has got their heads stuck so far up their ass they can't, they're looking dead at an abdomen.
I could not agree. Republicans make me sick.
I'm sorry. I got to go in just a second. I want to encourage people to come over to intellectualfroglegs.com, sign up for our news, our show alerts, and just doink around, have fun. And for you guys down in the United States with me, we got to get to the states. We got to get the state representatives that have some cojones to tell the, to start what's it called, what it's called, nullification. We have to start nullifying the federal government. Because they're going to, if the states don't protect us, the American government will America will go bankrupt. We will have a total economic collapse, and that is a fact. And we're headed that way if we don't stop it. So there you go. But, Kel, thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, and I'm going to let you go for a minute because I know that you are right now working in the froglegs.com studio, and you took your time out to spend time with me, and I appreciate it. And I have a question from the chat room, though. People want to know, can they get your songs downloaded to their iPad?
Yeah, bless their heart. I want to say I feel bad about their hearing problems, but yes, they can. The easiest way is search Jodan Media at CD Baby, and you can get it at iTunes.
CD Baby.
Yeah, but CD Baby, I actually get a little bit of money. Like out of 99 cents, I get like 70 cents of that at CD Baby. Now iTunes might give me a nickel. iTunes is greedy.
You're not on iTunes apparently, and I'm just reading
because I see how they. I have to grease up every month before I get my check from them. But thank you so much for having me on.
God.
CD Baby,
yeah.
CD Baby, and intellectualfroglegs.com. Yeah, we'll do this again sometime. We'll do this again. If you'll invite me, I'll come back.
Hey, Joe, would you like to come back on my show sometime very soon in the future? Maybe, next month or something, and we'll pick this conversation up. I know you're a very, very busy man, and for you to take time, I know you're right in the studio right now taping, and you're on a break, and you called into my show, and I so much appreciate that.
Well, bless you. Thank you for asking me. You know, just check with me. Just check with me, you know, and
I will.
If I can, you know, I will.
And,
so just let me know.
There is another question from the chat room, and they are wondering if you have YouTube videos, and yes, he does. You can check out, as a matter of fact, I have the thread right here. Jodan Media. Oh,
absolutely.
YouTube.
Yeah, there's if you go to Jodan Media on the YouTube, go to the uploads. There, every video I have there, it has all my videos there, all the music videos. There's one video that's not there, and that's one that was banned, and that's called Live to Die.
So
and that was
I
one
know
about
which
Muslims.
One. Yeah.
And but all the others are on YouTube. Now they can check out. I think Live to Die is, I think it's over at the at intellectualfroglegs.com. I apologize. I don't know for sure. I think so.
You know what I should have done is that before they removed that, Joe, is that I should have downloaded that into my Audacity and saved it.
You can still get it. It's on Vimeo. I have it posted.
Oh, it's
from
on Vimeo.
Vimeo?
Okay.
Yeah,
hey,
absolutely.
Hey, fantastic,
so,
because, one of the people in my chat room, Eric, he was saying that's one of his favorite songs of yours is Live to Die, and I have to tell you, that's one of mine, too.
Well,
that
thank you. You know, we just...
Song. And the video is fantastic.
Well, thank you,
like
and that's what was so offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks to YouTube, it's been banned from there. But that's another reason that conservatives, see, we got conservative brothers and sisters out there sitting on buckets of money, waiting for this Obama hurricane to blow over. And you know what? If they wait too long, it might be too late. They need to start investing in social media. You know, give us an option to YouTube. Give us an option to Facebook. You know, we've got these little guys trying, you know, they come up and invest $5,000 or $6,000 and think they've done something, but you're not going to take on Facebook like that. We need
Absolutely. People
with some money. So get off your tight asses and spend some money and help save your damn country. There you go. I got to go.
There
I love you, darling.
Go.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Joe, I will so definitely be in touch with you in a few days. Well, actually, probably tomorrow. But I'm going to let you go because, like I say, you are the most gracious man. You are fantastic. Everybody loves Joe Dad Media. It is such it's a fantastic website, and your YouTube channel is wonderful, and I have been a fan for years, and I want to thank you so very much for allowing me to use your song as the opening to my show. And
well, I'm just glad you have a hearing problem. Thank you so much. I gotta go. God bless you, darling. God bless you guys out there, and trust in God. Don't trust in government. Bunch of
trust
idiots.
Trust in God. Yep.
All right, bye.
All right, Joe. Bye-bye. I'll talk to you soon. And that was my friend, Joe Dan Gorman, a.k.a. Joe Dan Media. And like I say, you can find his site, and you can find his music on YouTube. But that song that he cited that was banned from YouTube, Live to Die, that is one of my favorite songs. That is one of the best ones that in my humble mind that I listen to. But you know what? Joe Dan Media does so much fantastic work. It is just absolutely wonderful, the work that he does. I'm going to take a break. Oh, I have a caller here. But I'm going to take a bit of a break because I need to refresh my drink. This is another song that I really enjoy by Joe Dan Gorman. And this is Submit, and We Will Not Submit. Take a listen to this. This is absolutely wonderful because, as you all know, Islam in Arabic, it means submit. Joe Dan Gorman penned this song saying that we will not submit. So take a listen to this, and I'll be right back.
A source of annoyance to a great many people.
JoeDanMedia.com.
Thank you.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Red Fox Blogger. If Adels are watching, with your host, Kel Fritzy. I wanted to share with you, I'm not going to talk about Islam right now. I want to talk about what's going on in the United States, and that's regarding the George Zimmerman trial, who was accused of murder of Trayvon Martin. I am getting a little distressed about the dissension that is going on with that. You know, this case, it's a lot about everything, it seems. There's many things involved about this, but it's not really about George Zimmerman. Like, he's an Obama supporter. He campaigned against police brutality, and then he found himself plucked up in the hand of Big Brother. And now he is playing the villainous white racist. George Zimmerman is Hispanic. He is the latest Bernie Getz, another wholly unlikely cult figure who currently campaigns for vegetarian lunches in public schools and squirrel rescue. But the thing is, to understand the Zimmerman case, you have to live in the neighborhood that just has enough property values to keep you paying the mortgage and just enough proximity to dangerous territories to make you feel like you're living under a frontier. I want you to absorb that. George Zimmerman was a community-minded individual protecting his gated community. Now, I know the chain of events, they don't make sense. They think that George Zimmerman was targeting Trayvon Martin. But the thing is that the gentleman in question, he was trying to protect his community. He was a simple individual, a simple protector of his community. Trayvon Martin, he was just another simple individual walking through that community. I do not want to espouse an opinion on either side, but I do want to share with you that things went drastically wrong that one night. I also want to share with you that I do believe, and I can share this with you because the jury is sequestered right now. The jury is sequestered. So anything, any opinion I share with you, I can share on the air. I think these were two individuals where worlds collided. Zimmerman was protecting his community, and he saw a person darting in and out between houses at twilight. And the person that he was pursuing was just a guy walking to his stepmother's place. But the thing is, things escalated. They escalated. And a fight, a physical altercation ensued. And Zimmerman ended up the loser of that physical altercation. And he felt threatened for his life. And he shot Trayvon Martin in the chest, thus killing him. But the thing is, Trayvon Martin had been on his cell phone talking with his girlfriend. If you remember her at the trial, she was the bull-necked one. and her reiteration of the conversation on the cell phone was that there's a creepy ass cracker following me. He called his girlfriend. Zimmerman called 911. My only regret, well, I have two regrets. My one regret is that Zimmerman did not listen to 911, just to stay in his car and wait for the proper authorities to get there. My second regret is that Trayvon Martin died. I'm very, very sorry for his family. I'm very sorry for Zimmerman's family as well. What we have to understand, though, is that this case has escalated to the point of national disunity. I think it could have been put the rest. I think it could have stayed in anonymity if Barack Hussein Obama had not stepped in and said that Trayvon would have been the son I never had. And if the likes of Al Sharpton stayed out of it. There are two differences in these two individuals. George Zimmerman, he wanted to be a police officer. But Trayvon Martin, he wanted to be a hood. That's right. Both of them were going on the motions on the edge of a game of cop and robber. It turned deadly, and it turned real. I want to share with you something here, and I'm going to bring it up. I want you to listen to this. And I'm going to bring up my volume and make sure that you can hear it. As a matter of fact, I have two videos. I think I want to play this one instead. And like I say, you can probably hear my mouse clacking around. But I've got it right here. This is an open message to Al Sharpton. And this is from Pastor, here, let me do this proper. This is a message from Pastor, and I'm still not doing it justice. Just give me one moment, because like I say, it's really important for me to share this with you proper, and I'm not doing it justice in not relating it to you the way I want to. But this, like I say, this is a message. It's a video. This is from Pastor Ken Hutcherson. Now, he had a few choice words, but they were very carefully chosen. And he had these words for Al Sharpton and et al. These were his words to the Al Sharptons of the world that would initiate racial divide. Here we go.
I was born in Anniston, Alabama in the 50s and had to fight for my equality most of my life. You see, there were many who thought I should be treated like a second-class citizen, drink from a different water fountain, sit in the back of the bus, be counted as three-quarters of a person, go to a different school, and sit in a black section of restaurants. You know, separate but equal. Then came Dr. Martin Luther King, and all that started to change. And praise God it did. I became a Christian in 1969. And today I find myself being put in the same category as a second-class citizen again. And I am not going to make that same fight again. You see, I did not become a Christian to live the 50s and 60s all over a second time. You mock Glenn Beck, thus all of us, with your insult that the Tea Party is fighting for their equal right. This brings me to the point of Al Sharpton. And that's his comments about our movement of taking back our civil rights as conservatives. Do you think we're going to go find a hole and hide somewhere? Mr. Sharpton, that is not going to happen anymore. So why is it that you think Judeo-Christian believers, the religious right, Tea Partiers, patriots, white people in general, who are starting to feel like second-class citizens and severed but equal, are being scrutinized by the IRS, fired on by the NSA, should not stand up and demand equal treatment under the law and the Constitution of these United States of America, the greatest nation ever founded under the banner of freedom, one nation under God, gives its citizens certain inalienable rights and the promise that they have the right to pursue their happiness. I believe we're endowed with those rights, Mr. Sharpton. And deep down, I believe you believe it too. As a black man, Al, who went through the civil rights fight in the 60s just like you did, and saw the first freedom bus burn in my hometown of Anniston, Alabama, on May 14, 1961, I think I have the right to tell you this, sir. I think the likes of you and Jesse Jackson have done more damage to the black race than any white man will ever accomplish. I have to tell you, Al, I have seen your work. It has been weighed. It has been measured. And it has been found wanting. That's Daniel 5, verse 27, my brother.
And I think that is an absolute testimonial. This is a person who is living underneath the auspices of racism as introduced by the likes of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. He said it very well. I'm very proud that I can associate and be associated with like-minded people, whether it be in real life, whether it be on the internet, whether it be on Facebook, whether it be on other fine programs here on Blog Talk Radio. I am very proud to be in their company, who are enlightened and understand what division, how dangerous division is. There. I put the link in the chat room for you fine people. This has got to stop. And what Pastor Ken Hutcherson said is right. The racial division has got to stop. I think what happened was that we had racial dividers like the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons, and worst of all, we had the Barack Hussein Obamas come along and further divide us as humans, as fellow man in our country, in the United States of America. They're doing it in Canada as well. They are doing it in the United Kingdom. We have to start moving forward again. And like the good pastor said, Al Sharpton, you have done more damage to this racial divide than a white man could ever do. And he is correct. I am shocked, shattered, and flabbergasted that we have come to a point where we have reached this case regarding Zimmerman and Martin, in that if Zimmerman is acquitted, they may be race riots in the streets. Why? Why? The case is entrusted in the hands of a jury. It is the jury that decides. However, it seems to not matter what the verdict is going to be. There will still be dissension, and there will be more cleats in the racial divide. I find it rather disturbing that Florida is preparing for riots, physical, kinetic riots in the streets if George Zimmerman is found not guilty. There are a lot of technicalities in this trial that I disagree with, the judge in particular. I will not get into that. We're all familiar with her chastising and her she was pretty much haranguing the defense. She pretty much set a precedent. A lot of things the jury did not hear, thank goodness. But she was haranguing. I think she's a Democrat. Let's just pray for a really, really good outcome. All around. And everybody keep their peace and keep their heads. The trial, the judge read the charges to the jury today, and it is now in the hands of the now sequestered jury. We will find out the verdict. Could be an hour from now. It could be Monday. It could be, like I say, well, anytime. But we have to keep our heads. We have to be mindful of our civil duties as fellow citizens, not to riot and not to go nuts either way of what the jury decides of the fate of George Zimmerman. Please keep that in mind, and keep in mind the words of Pastor Ken Hutcherson. What he had to say is powerful, and he's correct. We are not a race. We are a race of people. We are all in this together. Please, let's not let color blind us. We are living in 2013. We are not in 1950s Alabama anymore. And we are not in 1890s New York City when Irish were indentured servants anymore. We are not in Lower Manhattan where the French and the Irish and the Italians were condemned just for their culture. I have somebody on the air with me right now. I'm going to bring him on right now. And this is my friend Eric from Iowa. Eric, hello.
Hi, Kel. Haven't talked to you in quite a while.
Hi,
how you
Eric.
Doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's lovely to hear your voice again.
Well, I appreciate that. It's nice to hear you again, too. Hey, the reason I was calling in tonight, I was listening to your piece there with about the Trayvon Martin case, and I really haven't been following the trial all too closely because I think you and I both know what the trial is all about. And it doesn't really matter what evidence is provided or what justification is given or what type of motive is presented in testimony. The end result in this has to be a guilty conviction. What did Al say? Cities will burn. I can't remember what he said when this thing first kicked off. But
right.
Yeah, when we listen to that, and I put it in the chat room, Al Sharpton's nothing but a race-baiting poverty pimp. I mean, the guy has made a living off of making race an issue in just about everything. And him and Jesse Jackson both. I mean, these guys are like Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha. I mean, they go around and they fight these imaginary dragons thinking that they exist and they're actually accomplishing something. And when people
oh,
have
yeah,
the audacity...
The windmill.
Yeah, the windmill guy, yeah. People have the audacity to say, hey, look, dude, it's just a windmill. It ain't a big deal. They lose their little minds and tell you you're the one that's crazy, not them. So when Al went down there for, oh, what was it in North Carolina with Nifong? It was that lacrosse team. I remember succinctly him demanding
oh, yeah.
a conviction, throwing them kids into jail without having any evidence to support his assertions, and then having a district attorney act in the way in which Nifong did, ended up getting him removed from his position, and if I'm not mistaken, he was charged with criminal charges for the investigation, withholding evidence from the defense, and you know, bogus and stuff. This is the type of people Al Sharpton deals with and pushes for. And anytime that you put, you know, anytime that anybody puts him out in any type of leadership type position within the black community, I just lose my mind because the man has no credibility. And to put somebody out there with no credibility because of his past charges against people, it makes no sense. It wasn't just
mm-hmm.
him. They had a couple years ago, they had the Janine Six, if I remember, there was something where he was, you know, he was crying bloody murder for that. And, you know, that's forgetting
the fact
that. I remember
that, yes.
Yeah, and that's forgetting the fact, you know, if you throw all that away, I think it was in the 80s where he made some type of assertions or accusations against a Jewish family and ended up getting a couple of them killed, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
So why does anybody even listen to this guy anymore? But the thing with Trayvon, I was ranting, and I apologize for that.
Well,
but the thing with Trayvon.
I don't understand. I think if certain people had just left it alone, like, I mean, there were 97 deaths in Chicago alone last week, and that was black-on-black crime, and that was underreported, obviously. But you get some so-called white guy defending himself, and I'm sorry,
I am biased. White Hispanic, Kel.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
The new label.
The new race,
white
I guess.
Hispanic.
I looked on the most recent census form, and it's not there for some reason. It's a New York Times invention, is what it is.
It's funny. I was looking at a side by side photo of Barack Hussein Obama and George Zimmerman. And their skin color is virtually the same. George Zimmerman maybe looks like he stayed out of the sun for two more days, but okay, accuse me of racism. Come on, people.
Well,
I'm telling you,
Joe Dan made a very he made an allusion to the History Channel's portrayal of the Bible, and
yeah.
I remember. Watching, I think it was the last episode, maybe it was the second last episode of that series, and Satan appears. And I don't know if you've seen on the internet where they do a juxtaposition of Barry's picture.
Yeah,
next
I have
to
seen
the,
that. The Bible. Yeah, I watched that series, The Bible. Oh, it's hilarious. Sometimes I throw that into my my slides just for fun because one day I am, oh my God, Eric, I'm telling you, one day what I want to do is meet the president and say, wow, I've never met one of Satan's minions up close and personal.
Yeah, well, I mean, if there was somebody that, you know, could fundamentally transform our nation, it would have to be demon-possessed. But back to Trayvon. I'm sorry. Trayvon, with this case, and
yeah.
this is what everybody is losing sight of, is the specific evidence given at the time of the shooting. The evidence demonstrates, number one, George Zimmerman's back was wet from the grass. Trayvon Martin's knees were wet, indicating that Trayvon was on his knees and had George Zimmerman on his back. Second thing, George Zimmerman had contusions in the back of his head, which required stitches. He had a broken nose from being struck. Trayvon Martin, the physical evidence, there's two pieces of physical evidence from his body. One was a gunshot wound through the heart, but the second one was he had contusions on his knuckles, which indicates that he was beating the snot out of George Zimmerman. So the physical evidence in of itself demonstrates that Zimmerman was getting the snot kicked out of him. So you have to
yeah.
back that up. And I know you mentioned that, okay, well, you wish you would have listened to the 911 dispatcher and stayed back. The guy was he was a neighborhood watch guy, and this was his job. And if you got some pinhead dispatcher saying, well, you need to stay back and let the police do their job, well, if the police had been doing their job, he wouldn't have had to be there in the first place. But
yeah.
when he goes in there, the issue to the jury is, it's not whether or not the dispatcher told him to stay away. It's not whether or not he should have followed him. It's not whether or not he got called a crazy-ass cracker, or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. The fact
creepy
was
ass
that he was
cracker.
Creepy-ass cracker. I'm
yeah.
sorry. Crazy, creepy.
It doesn't
I don't
matter.
Teach English. I'm sorry.
Hey, potatoes, potatoes.
Yeah, there you go.
Same racist comment.
The fact was that the law says he has to have been in fear for his life. And when you have stitches in the back, you have wounds in the back of your head that need stitches. You have a broken nose, and this guy is still wailing on you. If I got a gun, I'm pulling it. If that's my
well,
only
absolutely.
Defense,
it
that's
also
happen.
Sounds like Martin was ready to literally strangle him. Like I'm speculating, but if Martin was wailing on this guy so hard, like with the punches, he could have probably not only thrown Zimmerman into unconsciousness, but could have either caused a brain damage or literally killed him. So yeah,
well,
I'm right.
That's Zimmerman's case right there.
With you. I'm right with you, Eric. Like, yeah.
Yeah, immediate fear for his life. That's all that has to be demonstrated, and
yeah.
he walks or should walk. But you know, I think the fix is in with Barry and his buddy Eric Holder over there, the DOJ. Down there
oh,
already
I
stoking
think,
the racist
yeah.
fires with their money
with that.
That they're
well,
pouring
there,
in there.
Apparently, I don't know if you're aware of this, and this I was just surprised at this today, listening to what program was I listening to today? I'm always listening to programs. I never,
well, I listen
you know,
to you
I never hear
all
up.
The time. That's why I.
Mark Levin. I was listening to
Mark. Oh, Mark
Levin.
I love
today.
Mark. He is a national treasure, yes.
He is my hero. And he brought up a really good point that apparently the Department of Homeland Security, they have a very little known organization, and they're apparently disguised as community organizers, and they were telling people in Florida that George Zimmerman is guilty, Trayvon Martin was a victim, and be prepared to riot. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't like I don't want to put this all on George or Mark Zimmerman. As a matter of fact, I might even have a bit of a link if I can find it. I'm pretty sure it's here. I'm pretty sure
I'm not
I
by my computer
it.
Right now. I'm pulling double duty tonight. I got my granddaughter, and I've been trying to make sure that she's entertained with Ice Age. Sorry. So if you put the link in there, I'll... Yeah, that's what she's watching right now. Her papa went and found it.
Love,
it
I love
VCR,
that movie.
Now she's watching it. Yeah,
I'm 49 cute. Years old, and I love those movies.
Well, we got all of them. We bought them. Well, we got three grandkids now, and that's just something that you got to have.
There you go. Hey, can you hang on for a minute? Because I have Jim on the line, and that's
Jim from
yes. Boston. If you would like to have a word with Jim as well.
No, I'll listen in and see what Jim has to say.
Okay.
How you doing tonight?
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Oh, hi. How's everybody doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, I just caught on here, and I'm listening about the case. I haven't been following it fully, but I just watched something from Patriot Action Network Facebook group. And he's a prime minister of the new Black Panther Party, Malik Muhammad. And
another Muslim, huh?
Yep. They have a $10,000 bounty on George Zimmerman's head. They have organized nearly...
Isn't that great?
According to him, they've organized nearly 10,000 men to make sure he doesn't stay down in Georgia, Florida, or Alabama. They're going out to get him. Now,
really?
when you were saying a few minutes back with Eric about, you know, the race issue. Well, the problem with the race issue here in the States, and probably the same thing up in Canada, is the media. The media feeds the flames of this. Because if it was a white guy, my God, he'd be dragged, quartered, and tossed into the ocean. But see, the media thrives on this. They're parasites. The lamestream media here in the States is nothing but a parasitic disease that inflames the racial tensions. Now, I was just going to try to find some others, but I saw another one down on the outskirts of Houston from Patriot Action Network Facebook group. A white man in the suburbs shot and killed two black thugs for breaking into a home. The new Black Panthers went down there, and of course, the whole neighborhood came out. All them snowflakes came out of their homes and made sure they got out of the neighborhood. Nobody used any profanity against the new Black Panthers. Nobody used a dirty word that everybody thinks it's a terrible word to use, but, you know, if the shoe fits, you wear it in the certain times. Nobody said anything derogatory or threatening to them, and it was so wonderful. You know, and like I said, here I am. I'm going to fan the flames. It's about time that the whites start standing up and defending what's right and what's fair. Al Sharpton is down there running his fat, ignorant mouth about this, and yet then justice is working. If he doesn't like our justice system, too bad. If they find him innocent, too bad. If they find him guilty, he's a dead man when he goes into prison. But I'm tired of the lame. I'm tired of the media, both print, radio, and television, fanning the flames of this. Let the justice system work, but they don't want to. And like I said, the left, the liberals refuse to sit down and weigh the facts. They don't want to hear anything because it's the truth and you're a liar for telling the truth. That's what it comes down to. And it's sickening.
I think I get really sick and tired of the media meddling with the justice system, if we can call it that. Like, we have a judicial system, but I don't know, Jim, if we have a justice system anymore. And it's deteriorated to the point that people sit around their TVs pretty much say what Mark Levin was talking about today when I was listening to him. And he said, you have people, their eyes are glued to the television set 6 inches away from the screen, and they're eating their potato chip, pardon me,
yep.
potato chips, and they're eating this up. It's like, well, they're eating up what the media is feeding them, and they're getting the background commentary on this. If the cameras were out of the courtroom, I think we would be a lot better off. And if the media would stop reporting on these so-called high-profile issues, I think that we would be a lot better off. I think George Zimmerman should be acquitted. I think he should be excused. But then you've got this damn judge, and she's introducing issues of, you know,
and being so friends.
Well, it's just like, who was it? Oh, God. It was, what's his name there? Malik Mohammed was saying today, you know, on that YouTube video, how they definitely want to go into the neighborhoods. And the other one, there's another new Black Panther Party guy there. He was at the polling stations there during the elections there, two elections back when Obama first ran.
Mm-hmm.
They got a picture of him plastered on, you know, through Patriot Action Network there. He's got a shotgun on his hip. He's got a bandolier of shotgun shells. He's got a cigarette in his fingers. We're going into Whitey's neighborhood, and we're going to burn it down. You know, I mean...
Unbelievable?
Now, like I said, I mean, people got all over David Duke when David Duke was, you know, riding high and supposedly riding high on the race issue here in America. The idiot that runs the Department of Justice wanted to, he come out and said it. He says, white America is afraid to talk about race. Well, guess what? I'm tired of the blacks, not all of them, because you can't hang it on everybody. But I'm tired of
absolutely. Like that clip I played by the pastor.
Yeah. Now, but see, you know, your lamestream media, your traitorous media, who's not fair, they're not balanced. They won't play anything like this because, you know, oh, he's an Uncle Tom. He's a traitor to his race. But like I said, the white people, and I, you know, I mean. Eventually, it's, you know, it's going to come to a head. It's going to get ugly before it gets any better because the crap is going to hit the fan. You don't hear the lamestream media condemning or coming out and attacking the El Rukin gangs there in Chicago. I think Chicago right now is still number one with most shootings in the country and deaths. But where it's black on black, that's okay. But if it was white people riding through there, gunning them down, my God, they'd be screaming for the Marines and National Guard to get out there and get those perpetrators. It's a double standard with race in this country. Eric Holder is full of crap. That's why he's got nice brown eyes, because the bottom line is, me, myself as a white guy, when I got out of the Marines in 1976, I never heard of affirmative action. I wanted to be a state trooper in Connecticut.
Oh, no kidding.
I get out.
You know what, like... Eric Holder, he's the biggest racist. I know all about that one. He actually made a speech a little while back where he referred to black people as our people. He didn't refer to the American people. He referred to our people. And I was I was talking with Eric about what the U.S. Department of Justice was doing, is that they have actually deployed a group in Sanford, Florida. I put the link in the chat room there. But they're organizing rallies, and one is headlined by Reverend Al Sharpton. Like, it's just unbelievable. They are calling for rallies.
It's an insult, because I think... The more loudmouth Al opens his mouth, the more infuriated the white people, along with Hispanics in this country, because they, you know, the Hispanics aren't, I mean, I tell you, the Hispanics aren't crazy about the likes of Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually,
and we've got.
Like, go ahead.
Yeah, and we've got Eric back with us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you, Kel. I'm sorry, you probably had some feedback from my granddaughter on the phone there when I was talking. The thing I wanted to chime in about Eric Holder and the Department of Justice, when we look back at the very beginning of this administration and what he did, and this just give you a little insight of where this man's perspective is, where this man is coming from. This guy, the first thing he did was drop those charges against those two members of the Black Panthers that were sitting out in front of that polling station in Philadelphia in the 2008 elections with billy clubs. And he said that this is not an example or a prosecutable example of voter intimidation. You
now
could not have had a more clear example of voter intimidation. Now, just as an aside, the guy that was arrested, or the guy that was actually standing out, one of the guys that was standing out in front of that polling station that day, was recently arrested in Philadelphia on a weapons charge.
No, he got arrested in New York City.
Oh, was it in New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
New York City, and they're screaming that it was a setup. Because he's by the naturally, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Jim, you and I know. Of course it was a setup. But if you look at the tattoo, now anybody that gets a tattoo on their face, I mean, they have to have self-esteem issues to begin with. But with that said, he has a tattoo on his face that says, "Kill Whitey." Now, if I'm the Attorney General of the United States and I have a gentleman that is standing in front of a polling station with a billy club saying that America is going to, or the white man is going to be ruled by a black man beginning today, and he's got a tattoo on his face that says, "Kill Whitey," and there are no grounds for to prosecute this guy, then that is an attorney general that is either, number one, too stupid to hold that position, which he's not. Eric Holder is a very intelligent man. Or has race issues of his own.
Oh, he's very bright. Oh, there's absolutely no denying that he's an absolutely bright man. He's very intelligent, and he's deviously intelligent. He's very capable of subjecting himself into the underbelly of the thinking of people. And you got to think, though, what he denied to acknowledge the intimidation of the new Black Panther Party and who they were intimidating at those polls. I mean, look at the leader of the new Black Panther Party. I mean, what's his name? Oh,
Malik Shabazz.
Malik Zulu Shabazz?
Yeah, Zulu Shabazz, yeah. Malik Shabazz, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that this guy, Eric Holder, he's very bright. He's very
crafty. He knows how to
manipulate
things.
Yeah, he's very crafty.
You know, it's just like there was a black pastor from Louisiana. I think it's called The Smoking Gun. I haven't seen any of his YouTube videos in a long time.
Oh, I've never heard of that, I've never seen it.
He's smacking Obama left and right. He calls him Obama a Mac Daddy. I guess that's a black term, you know, that the blacks use against each other, you know. You're, but
great.
This guy is good. I think it's called The Smoking Gun. He's out of Louisiana. Like I said, I don't know if he's still on YouTube. Maybe they pulled him because, I mean, and I remember one of his YouTube videos that I was watching one time, and, you know, he was saying, you know, with that southern Louisiana accent, you know, he was saying, boy, he says, one of these days, them white people, they're going to get really pissed off at us. And he says, you know something? I'm going to make sure I'm with them. He said, I don't want to be on the receiving end from them. You know, but he was so good. I mean, he spoke, I mean, very calmly. He wasn't hysterical. He was just giving his opinion. And like I said, you know, you got people like Obama. You got the Department of Justice. You got the likes of Al Sharpton. Like I said, I mean, you don't want to see it come to a boil in this country because it's one damn good country. And if you don't like it, you can go back to your ancestral homeland. You can go back to Ireland. You can go to Nigeria, Senegal. You can go anywhere you want. You weren't asked to come here, but you're welcome to come here. And like I said, Al Sharpton, who likes fanning the flames, and those YouTube videos that I was just talking about, you know, if more and more people watch them, like I said, Whitey-tighty is going to be really, you know, pissed, and people are just going to say, well, screw them. Come in my neighborhood, see what you're going to get.
Can I add one thing to this, Kel?
Oh, absolutely, Eric.
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed with this president is that with all the scandals that are coming out that have been happening with his in administration, with you know, we can start with the Fast and Furious, the Benghazi, the IRS, the Department of Justice subpoenaing phone records of journalists and such. What all this does is it causes people to lose confidence in the very institutions that are supposed, that a government is supposed to be set up to protect us from. You know, the governments, according to Jefferson, is that governments are established to protect our rights. They're not there to give us our rights. They're there to protect us. And when we don't have any more confidence in these institutions that are there to protect our rights, then this is where you start having things that can, I mean, with Trayvon, it's a race, you know, stoking the racial flames there. But other things can be also involved in there, as far as the Tea Party's being prosecuted with the IRS scandal, or people's Second Amendment rights being targeted with the Fast and Furious. And, it just goes on and on. So when Eric Holder is going down into Florida or sending his minions down there, here is just another example of a government doing things that is causing the people to lose trust and confidence in the very things that a government is supposed to be protecting them from. And when, and I mentioned it before, that, I mean, when Obama said that when he was going to fundamentally transform this country, well, this is just another example of that campaign promise that he is, or one of the very few that he's actually fulfilling. Is that he is indeed fundamentally transforming our country, because he's causing the people of this country to lose faith, trust, and confidence in its institutions.
Well, I am totally getting very distressed about what this Obama regime is doing to the people of the United States, and I'm very worried about him creating some sort of a catastrophe that he will rewrite the Constitution, in that he will remain in power after 2016, that he will declare some sort of
martial law.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for, Jim. And that he will do that to the people of the United States. Like, I am really worried that, like, this guy, and like Joe Dan Gorman said, he's not only a socialist, he is a dictator. Like, he's a dictator, this one. I'm worried about him, and he's enabling the Muslim Brotherhood. We're seeing that in Egypt. We saw that in Iran being the latest, but we certainly saw that in Libya. He is usurping dictators and just replacing them with, theocracy leaders. I'm really worried about what Barack Hussein Obama is capable of doing with the Constitution of the United States. That's my biggest worry. When the next elections come around in 2016, what he is capable of doing and what he will do. He's already trying to rewrite the Constitution, especially with the First and Second Amendment. Of course, those are the two that we're all familiar with. But he's messing with the Fifth. He's messing with the 16th. He's messing with everything.
Well, you know,
hey, Kel,
I mean,
what I would like to do is, if you would let me go inside and get my tinfoil hat out. I'd like to put that on for just a second.
Go ahead. I wear mine all the time now.
Talk about a little bit about what you just said as far as him usurping the Constitution, and again in 2016 or whatever year in between now and then, declaring some type of state of emergency and saying, okay, well, since there's a state of emergency, I can't just simply step down as president. I therefore must maintain my powers and control. I might have 2 years ago thought that any such statement like that would be simply ridiculous. But after, looking, and hold on, let me shake this tin here. Let me just put it on here. When two years ago, before I started wearing this hat, I would have thought that was, simply you know, just, you know, right winger, far, you know, far out there on the fringe type talk. But after you start looking deeper and deeper into this guy's past history, after you start, in, you know, watching what he has done in the past as far as his elections have been concerned, and, you know, just destroying his opponent, you know, before the election even begins, before you even start examining his religious history as far as him declaring himself a Christian and sitting in Jeremiah Wright's, another race baiter, by the way, his church for 20-some-odd years. And then examining the fact that, you know, and I'll say it, I don't think he was born in Hawaii. I've never been a birther. I've never
sake, the birth certificate said African American. Oh, goodness gracious.
Well,
there was,
you know,
no
even,
such thing as an African American back in 1958. 1959, whenever that dude was born.
well, what got me on that, Kel, was when there was an article that was published on Breitbart some months ago that gave a photo shot of his book, his first book. I can't remember the name of his first. I don't read what he wrote. But his first book, and his publicist had written
The Audacity of Hope.
In that, what's that?
The Audacity of Hope, was that his first book?
Dreams of My Father, I think, was his first book. But it really doesn't matter.
Dreams
with
of My
book,
Father, yes, that's right.
Okay, with,
yeah.
with the book, the publicist, or the, not the publicist, yeah, well, I think, it, yeah, his publicist had written that, a brief bio of Barry on the book, and it said that he is the first first African-American Kenyan-born editor of the Harvard Law Review. Now, if I'm Barry, you know, clear back then, I don't have a lot of income other than, you know, just being the community organizer and the race-baiting agitator that I am, and this is one of my sole sources of income, I think me and my publicist are going to be very close. And this is my reasoning behind my reasoning of switching sides on this from this position. There is no way in hell, Kel, that this guy could have allowed his publicist to print something so blatantly untrue.
That's right.
Unless it was true. There's no way. So when and
you know
the only
what?
Time that ever changed was when after he had declared himself a candidate for president. And then realized that, hey, maybe I ought to read this Constitution. In the Constitution, in Article 2 of the Constitution, it clearly states that you have to be a native-born citizen of the country.
Oh,
so that
I know,
in of
and his
tells
father
me that
was
no,
a British subject as well. Like, I mean, come on, people, like, wake up, wakey, wakey. You know what?
This is such a fascinating subject. I think that you're that you do have a point when you say that. I do believe now that you do have a point saying that there may be some type of false flag or national emergency that he may declare in the future. I would not put that past this man anymore. So you won
me
over.
I was wondering, and it just occurred to me that I really like you two gentlemen so very much, and I want to make this a topic for next Friday evening. I was wondering, Jim and Eric, if you would join me, and we'll pick this up on the next Friday show.
Sure,
I can be here.
This would be a fascinating topic to explore even deeper.
Well, I'm waiting on. I've been following. I don't know if it's made the news where you folks all live at out there, but. The Chechen terrorist here, he had his day in court here in Boston, and they had a bunch of...
He pled not guilty. Yeah,
they had people out there in support of him. They had about 30 people out there in front of the courthouse in support of him. And I put it out there. I saw it on Facebook. I says, well, people ought to go out and buy some bacon, take strips of bacon and throw it at all his supporters, you know? I mean... This here is going to be a farce of a trial. Well, not a farce of a trial, because let's face it, people here in Boston, they want to hang him. I mean, the people that support him, okay, they're saying he didn't plant those bombs. Well, then what the hell was he doing with homemade bombs in his car and shooting it out with cops? I mean, this is how ignorant people are. But at least up here in Boston, I mean, even though it is, you know, as I like to say, stuck behind enemy lines here, there are some, you know, people with some sanity and common sense. We know this guy is guilty as sin. It's just a formality because when he has his day in court, he's found guilty, boom, bang, and it's up to Holder, though, to give him the death penalty. It's not Massachusetts. It's a federal law. But, you know, I'd like to see him put in Supermax in Colorado or Indiana where he's out in his cell 23 hours a day, no TV, no radio, no nothing, you know. Let him be driven crazy.
Absolutely.
And pictures of the victim.
That is something that I really want to pick up. I'm going to wrap up this show, but Eric and Jim, can you please both come back and join me next Friday, and we can discuss this, because I think this is an issue worthy of further discussion and exposure. Jim, I totally agree with you. I want to talk about that little, I don't even know what to call him. And Eric, I want to pick up on Obama as well. You gentlemen have been so wonderful in joining me on my program tonight. I really thank you.
Yeah, I want to say a quick shout out there to Robert Ryan out there. Hey, Rob, how are you tonight? You know,
Robert is the best. Call him Bob, please.
Bob, okay, yeah, because I want to friend him on Facebook. You know.
Well, you know the thing with Bob.
Okay, you
have to. He's a general officer. I kind of have a hard time calling him,
sir,
Bob. That's kind of hard.
I know.
For me.
You know what? I'm his baby G. There you go. Guys, I want to thank you so very much for joining me. Will you both please come back next Friday? And I want to delve into these issues much deeper with much more time than we were allowed tonight.
Well, perhaps next Friday, Kel, we'll have a little bit of hindsight or 2020 on the outcome of this Trayvon Martin case, because I got a feeling that the jury is not going to take too long to come out with a verdict, and we'll probably be able to have a lot of commentary on it then.
I'd like to see a hung jury so they have to do it all over again and bring it up, because real quick, if people remember
what I'm thinking.
How NBC edited the tapes and people were fired over it.
You know, Jim, I played those tapes. I'm a history teacher, and I played that when we were talking about the First Amendment and the responsibilities of the press. I played those tapes, and I proposed to my class and said, isn't it the responsibility of the press to report honestly to the American people and not start stoking these racial flames that have been going on? And I teach in a Title I school, so you have a lot of African-Americans in the school, and you could have heard a pin drop when I played that second tape of the actual 911 call. It was... Yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from on that, Jim.
Mm-hmm. But like I say, you know, because they showed it this morning, of course, only on Fox. They didn't show it on the lamestream media, how they cut it out. I'm glad some people got fired, but people see that once on lamestream media and they believe it all. You know, people just can't do their homework to check things out first. And that's why this country's in the mess we're in, too, today, you know?
Well, the country's in the mess it's in because of the media doing things just like that, and nobody's holding them accountable. I mean, you know, forget the fact that you had some editors doing that. Who in the heck at NBC? I mean, who in the heck is in charge there? You just don't let this happen unless you have a culture of bias such as this.
I definitely need you two back here next Friday.
All right. Count me in.
I'll be here, Joe.
You gentlemen are the best. Thank you so very much. You just reinforce everything I feel, I believe, and I trust. I love my American people so very much. I am so proud that you are my friends, and I am so proud that you call into my humble little show. And it's not that humble. I have a very loud voice, and you guys, reinforce everything that I try to convey to everybody, not just the American people, but to the world. We are in trouble, and we have to get the voices out there, and you two gentlemen just totally backed me up on my program tonight. I thank you both, and please, let's have our round table next Friday evening.
Sure. And I'd like to say, before we say goodbye, I'd like to say goodnight to the NSA if they're listening, fellas. Hope you enjoyed the show.
That's too funny.
Okay, you guys.
Until next Friday.
Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care, now. Robert. Take care, and I'll talk to you next week there, Kelly.
You bet. Jim,
okay, have a good night.
Always.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye, Kel.
Bye, Eric. Like I say, I really do have a good panel, and I am running over in time. I am going to carry over something into archive. I'm just going to chat for a few minutes and play out the Red Fox over in archive. So for my archive listeners, you can hear this. We lost somebody in our little BTR family, and we are a little family. We really are a connected family. We lost one of our own this week, and that was George Hislop. That is Jihai of American View in George's gin joint. I am devastated, and I am lost about that. I want to thank Beth and Ellie of In Defense of Freedom for their tribute to George. And I also want to thank Holger Awakens for his tribute to George. I want to thank Gotti Edelman for his tribute to George. I'm not going to play a song right now. You will have to listen to archive in a moment. But I do want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank you for joining the Red Fox Blogger. Infidels are watching. You guys make all the difference. You make my voice even louder when you share it. If it weren't for you guys, there would be no us. And remember, it's your country. Take it back. And please listen to this tribute in archive for George. I'm just waiting for it. Good night, everybody. I am now in archive, and I want to share with you, like I say, my memories of George Hislop, Jr., who died at the age of 52 years old. He was born October 19th, 1960, and he died July 8th, 2013. He was a wonderful man. George's gin joint, Friday afternoons. I would go to his show, and he would have Friday trivia. And damned if I never got the answers. Mary would always beat me to it. But you know what? It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. He would have trivia questions. It's kind of like da 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 da. But that was George. He was so funny. And I would type in the chat room, "George, make the questions easier." And he would say, "Oh, Kel, I'm just going to throw you a free T-shirt anyway." And he was a wonderful man. He was a fantastic man. He really loved his family, and he loved his pet. When I got the message from Beth and Ellie, like I say, who host In Defense of Freedom, I was devastated. It was, I have what you call a drop-down menu. You guys all have that too. But I have one in my feed, and it's favorite radio shows. And George's show was in there, and I would make sure that I could try to be there either on Monday evenings or Friday afternoons, either listening to American View or George's Gin Joint. This man left us way too soon. George, I'm really mad at you, George. Like I say, he was our 5 o'clock somewhere every Friday afternoon, and he passed away on Monday. George, you know what? Don't you worry. We're always going to remember it's 5 o'clock somewhere. This is the song he always played on George's Gin Joint. And, well, George, this is for you again. Good night, everybody.
Dark side. 5 in Margaritaville, come to think of it.
I heard it did.
You've been there, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
I've seen your boat there.
I've been to Margaritaville a few times.
All right, well, that's good.
Just come all the way back.
Okay, we just want to make sure you can keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys, I got it.
All right, well, it's 5 o'clock. Let's go somewhere.
I'm ready. Crank it up.
Let's get out of here.
I'm gone.